Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Welcome to the Cosmo Happy Hour. It's everything you would talk about with your best friends, from sex to celebrity to entertainment.
From the editors of Cosmopolitan.com, this is the Cosmo Happy Hour with Alisa Benson.
Hi, guys. Welcome to Cosmopolitan.com Happy Hour, the happiest hour of my week and obviously yours. I am joined by my coworkers today, Lauren Lemsden, Elizabeth Nerens, and Allie Martell. Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey. We're excited to be here.
Yes, in our little like unicorner, as we call it, the cosmopolitan.com unicorner, which is so named because there are unicorns hanging on the wall, just like to set up that mental image of what we're doing. But today we are talking about shaming and this idea of living in this moment in 2015 of fat shaming, slut shaming, skinny shaming, child shaming, parent shaming, social media shaming. What else have I, like, what other kinds of shaming have I forgot? Infinite, right? Exactly. Infinite kinds of shaming. So in some ways, it's, I think we're at this moment where we sort of reached peak shame. Sort of, why is that happening? Is it getting us any closer to, I don't know, what is even the point? Getting us any closer to sort of acceptance and peace and harmony? I don't know. We're going to talk about that all today. And also talk a little bit about Halloween, because I think because it's this week and it's my favorite holiday and I'm so excited, but also because I think it is a holiday that has sort of become wrapped up in this idea of basically sluttiness. So let's start with that. What are you guys going to be for Halloween?
I'm going to be a bridezilla because I'm looking at wedding venues this weekend instead of going out. But yeah, if I weren't doing that, I would definitely be a slutty bride.
Right. Love it. Lauren, what are you going to be?
I'm the same thing every year, and it's I like decided the last minute that I'm going to go out, and then I just grab things that I have around the house. And so
like
I have
every year.
I have these like mom jeans that I just happen to have, and I have an airbrush t-shirt with my name on it from 1993.
Oh my gosh, flawless.
And I have a
is it like spring break?
Yeah, it's from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
Perfect.
Shout out Myrtle Beach. And I have a fanny pack, and I have like a long blonde wig. So I think I'm like a mom of some sort. It's definitely not sexy. It's the opposite of sexy. And there's definitely like a like noticeable like fupa in the mom jeans. So.
I love that you have all the elements of your costume except knowing exactly what it is. You're like, I have the spring break Myrtle Beach t-shirt, but I don't know what I'm
It's kind of fun to hear people's interpretations, too. They're like, oh, you're that character from that 90s show. And I'm like, yes. And one time it was Blanche Devereaux from The Golden Girls' daughter, Pam, which doesn't exist, and that worked, too. So it's open to interpretation.
Yeah, someone might have a better idea than you do.
Just let it happen.
Exactly.
I love that. Allie, what are you going to be for Halloween?
Well, Charles said I could keep this sexy jellyfish costume that I wore in our sexy Halloween shoot.
Yes.
So possibly that, because otherwise, like you said, I have stuff laying around. So Carmen Sandiego I have been before because I have a red trench coat and the red hat is somewhere under my bed with all my shoes and suitcases and like other moving materials that I shoved under my bed when I moved into my apartment. And I was like, I'll use these again. And now they're just dust boxes.
Right. Well, I feel like that's, like, everybody in New York City lives in a teeny tiny apartment, so it's, like, you can't keep that much random costume crap on hand. So
you'd
I feel
be
like
shocked, even for someone like myself who really hates Halloween. Like,
you have, yeah.
I could pull out, like, a track star any second. I could pull out a ballerina. I could pull out,
oh I have gosh. A boa somewhere.
A cowboy.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to shop for my costume
it could
in
happen.
Your closet.
Yeah.
So what do you guys think about the conversation? You know, I think every year around this time, you see a lot of articles written of, like, why wearing, you know, quote-unquote, revealing, slutty Halloween costumes you know, is bad. Or, you know, there's always the conversation about our younger and younger women sort of feeling like they have to wear these sorts of costumes. And then I think the flip side of that argument is sort of people like me that are just like, wear what you feel. But where do you guys stand?
Well, I guess I wonder what drives someone who's going to pick, you know, a quote-unquote slutty costume. Is it that you dress more conservatively and you see Halloween as a time to kind of step outside your comfort zone? Or is it that everybody else is wearing sexy costumes and you don't want to be the one in, you know, a clown costume when everyone else is super sexy? Is it as a competition? So, yeah, I guess those are kind of the two options there. Or maybe you just find an outfit and it feels good, or you want to channel, I don't know, a sexier character. It's like, why are you doing it?
Yeah, but I think, I don't know, I think you touched on something really interesting just now, which is sort of this idea of, like, you don't want to be in the clown costume if everyone else is the, like, nurse or whatever. But, you know, and I think that's also the famous Mean Girl scene. The joke on Cosmo Podcast is, like, how many minutes in before we reference Mean Girl? So now we're, what, 5 minutes in? But we've already mentioned it. But, you know, that sort of idea, and it's played for comedy in the movie, of the Lindsay Lohan character wearing this horrible, you know, dead zombie, and everyone is like, what are you? Like, they're so horrified because everyone else is, like, wearing their lingerie. Why are you so scary? Exactly. But that said, like, I don't know if people are thinking about other people so much as you're just thinking about what you want to wear, right? I don't know.
I think that even if you're not being a sexy something, everyone wants to be cute, even if they're being funny. In college, I was a snood for Halloween once. I don't know if you remember the game Snood, where you, like, shot the little...
I have no idea what you're talking about.
And I wore a miniskirt under it, because even though I was wearing this, like, giant cardboard thing that I had made, I still wanted to look cute under my giant cardboard thing. And I think that even when people are funny, whatever, they're still like, well, I want to be cute, funny, whatever. Like, I want to be a cute burglar.
Sure. And, like, my personal feeling is I just want to be cute all the time. But it's just, like, in my day, like, 361 days a year, I'm running late for everything in my life. And I just, like, don't even have time to, like, curl my hair or put on makeup. So, like, the 4 days a year where I do have extra time, I want to really do it up.
I just was going to say, I am all about, you know, wearing what you want and what you feel good in, but I do, every time I walk out and go to the New York Halloween parade, I am shocked at how, like, how sexy, or I guess slutty, I hesitate to use that word, but I am always pretty shocked, but at the same time, I do feel like people should put on what they want. And I guess I never dressed in a really slutty Halloween costume because I never felt, like, confident enough. I'm not like a sexy person generally. Like, I would never wear, like, a super low cut shirt because I feel like my boobs aren't big enough or something. So I guess it's like, I'm kind of like, more power to the people that do feel really confident, yeah,
sure,
and can look really good and in it.
Sure. And, like, I think too, you know, the whole idea in Mean Girls is it's the one day a year where, even if you're somebody that maybe doesn't feel confident to dress like this all the time, it's the one day a year where you can dress like this and no one else can say anything about it. But, like, of course we sort of know that's not true. Like, the girl, you know, you do pass that judgment. And I don't mean, like, us are necessarily being judgmental, but the girls that show up in the parties that are really wearing, like, no clothing at all, they still do get judged. So it's
also at those parties, like, I think it's a far cry to say that girls who are dressing suggestively are confident, because, I mean, I went to many, many a Halloween parties back in the day at school, and, I mean, the sluttiest dressed girls are the ones that are drunkest. I'm just throwing that out there. Mm. So, like, are you going to a sober party dressed, like, with, like, your boobs out, or are you, you know, like, I don't know. I don't think that necessarily, like, showing off everything you've got makes you confident. I think it might be the opposite in many cases.
Interesting. Well, I think that, I don't know, do you guys think that, you know, we're sort of, I think we're all a little nervous and we think about stuff like this all the time just about using the word slutty, which, like, isn't a word that we use at Cosmo to talk about women. I feel like
throwing it out left and right.
No, but I feel like we're using it. Yeah, no, but we're using it in this context in sort of the air quote sense because it's so hard. You know, you can't talk about slut shaming without talking about the word slut. And certainly this idea of, like, the slutty Halloween costume. But I think that word itself is really interesting because I think, as we know, a lot of girls use that conversationally, use it to talk about your friends. And even if you're using it as an insult, you still, you know, it's very much a part of the vocabulary, I think, for a lot of our readers and for a lot of, like, young women in general. I guess I'm sort of the theory that I think that's good. I think people, you know, using this word in conversation when women are using it kind of brings, that means we get to assign the meaning to it. But, you know, certainly women are still using it as an insult, you know, to other girls at school or other girls in their friend group or other frenemies. What do you guys think about that word? And it's so touchy to talk about.
I think that a lot of people, like, I guess if you looked up slut and Urban Dictionary, it probably says, you know, an easy girl who sleeps with a lot of people. Probably everyone who uses it, the girl could maybe be a virgin, and people just use it as a catch-all negative word to talk about someone they don't like.
Sure.
So I think it's so easy on Halloween or in anything someone's wearing, if you don't like something that someone's wearing, oh, she's such a slut.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone agrees that it's a bad word, for lack of a better word, as opposed to bitch, where you know you call someone a bad bitch and you don't actually mean it in a bad way. Most people haven't taken back the word slut, for lack of a better word. So I feel like it doesn't so much have to do with sex as just a girl I don't like.
Well, I think it's certainly, you know, it's, you hear about, there have been a ton of articles by people way smarter than me written about this, about the word getting thrown around, you know, kids who are in elementary school. And in some cases, I think it's used as an insult because of exactly what you said. People know it's an insult, even if they don't necessarily have associations with the term or really understand, like, what it means. And, you know, what does it even mean? It's an insult. It sort of doesn't matter if you use it to mean one thing or another. It's just a powerful word. And I think in that sense, you know, the word, we know that the word can be dangerous. Like, we know, didn't mean to get so super serious going straight from Halloween, but, you know, we know the word can be dangerous. Girls, for instance, in a school system who are labeled as a slut or the class slut, you know, can be picked on and can be bullied and really can be targets. It is a word that people respond to in a real way. And in that sense, I think it's dangerous. But I just don't know if the way to fight back against that is to say, like, this should be an off-limits word, or if it is just the slow evolution of sort of people using it in a conversational way and sort of owning it. I don't know.
I think that more and more women are owning their sexuality and their choice to explore it. And I feel like, whereas slut maybe like 5 years ago maybe it would have been a really hurtful term, now it's kind of like, you know, if you're called a slut, it's like, it's just like a meaningless insult, essentially. And it kind of, I think, speaks to your just ability to kind of be in touch with your own sexuality. I don't know. And also, I'll just put into context, I am coming off of just reading New York Magazine's feature on sex on campus. I don't know, mm-hmm, if you guys read that. But it just, like, really opened my eyes to the kind of sexual exploration that's going on right now. And I feel like, especially students in college, are just really finding themselves in so many different sexual situations. And I don't know, so I'm kind of hearing this word slut being thrown around, and I'm thinking about all these women that I read about on college campuses, and they're just so proud of their sexuality, whatever that means for them. So I'm wondering if it's almost like a dated term and becoming less meaningful.
And I think that's really interesting, and in some ways that is the hope. Like, that's the way that language evolves. Like, you hope that sort of with each new generation of people, I'm making myself sound like such an old person, but with each new generation of people, you sort of, you know, words have power within their communities and within the groups of people that use them. So you would expect that to sort of shift and evolve as people's, you know, feelings about their sexuality and their comfort level with sort of being public about that sort of evolve as well. You even see that, I think that that sort of ties back into what we were just saying about Halloween, you know, that maybe people are wearing different costumes now than they would have a decade ago or 20 years ago, because people do feel more comfortable sort of identifying as being like overtly sexual in one way or another. But it's also just fun, right?
It is fun. And I think also people probably were dressing that way on Halloween 15 years ago, but Facebook didn't exist. So all those pictures, the only copies of them are the double that you gave out to your best friend.
Right. Doubles. That's so TBT. Throwback right there. I also think, like, before we sat down and came into this room, I really said, like, you know, we've gone really sort of gotten really serious about slut shaming, which we should. It's an important topic. But I kind of said that I really wanted to talk about sort of this idea of shame in general and like where it comes from. And I do think, like, I hate that the answer to every problem always and forever is social media. But I do think the internet and social media has really sped up the world we all live in. Like, we all know that. So I think, you know, the pace that we're all moving these days is so fast that I think to sort of cut through that crowded space, people just feel like they need to be so extreme in their opinions. And I think that is where this sort of shame as a concept over the past few years has become so powerful. You know, these issues that we're talking about and moving away from slut shaming, but, you know, all the body shaming that has become a really dominant conversation on the internet over the past few years, you know, to kind of cut through the noise, there's no room to be nuanced. You have to take a strong position on it one way or the other. And so,
sorry to just jump in.
No, please cut me off.
About social media, I think that is a really good point, because, I mean, when you think about, you know, the original Facebook post, you could either like it or say nothing, essentially. So it kind of sets you up to either be supported or shamed, I guess, by having no attention, or, you know, I guess the possibility of rejection for whatever you post. Just throwing that out there.
Wait, I don't know what you mean.
So basically, like, with Facebook or with any kind of, basically on any network now, you can like a post. So it kind of gives you the opportunity to have an opinion on anything that's posted.
Sure.
So that's kind of just the point that I was making.
Sure. Absolutely.
It breeds opinions,
for sure. And I think because of social media too, like, I think a weird thing that happens anytime there's, like, for instance, not to go so dark, how did this episode about Halloween turn so dark? But, you know, anytime there's a national tragedy or something happens, I think it's always interesting to see all the celebrities who respond to it. And, you know, I think in our culture, we tend to hold celebrities up as professional opinion havers about everything, which isn't totally fair to them. But I also think that being in the public eye puts this weird pressure on you to feel like, oh, I'm in the public eye, so I have to comment publicly about every single thing that happens. And I think on a smaller scale, people feel that in their own lives, like, because of social media, because you have this platform to broadcast your opinion about anything, I think people feel like they have to, like, you have to wade into a debate even if it's something, I guess, you would never say to someone's face.
I worked at a parenting website before I worked at Cosmo, and that was the ultimate in everyone having an opinion. Like, people would write a story about how they had to bottle feed their kid because even if they had, like, had breast cancer and physically could not breastfeed, and people would still comment and be like, you know, you can go to these places and you can get breast milk from other people. You're killing your baby. Mm-hmm. And if one of your friends told you they were in that same situation, you would say to your friend's face, you're killing your baby? Probably not.
Right.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Right. I think parent, and none of us in this room are parents, I don't think. I hope I didn't just. But, you know, I think, like, we all have friends who are parents, and certainly, like, just the popularity of parenting topics on cosmopolitan.com, I mean, that is a huge issue where, like, mothers really cannot win. And I feel for all of my friends who are parents, because there is no right or wrong thing to do. Any decision you make about your kid, you know, of course, you should be the one that knows best how to parent your child. But there's so much scrutiny around that. And I think that is, again, you know, for the first time ever, parents are really raising their kids in a social media age. Like, people are seeing the photos of you when you're pregnant. They're seeing the photos of the kid, you know, when they're a newborn. And there's no escaping that, even if you as a parent don't want to put your, you know, document your own kid's life on social media, like, everyone else
you're
is seeing.
For that.
Right, exactly. You literally can't win.
A friend of mine recently, who has a kid, her kid
her kid fell down the steps, a little boy, and he had like this big, huge bruise on his eye, and he looked like he'd been in a fight. And for some reason, I don't know why, I was shocked that she put that on Facebook, like the pictures of his bruise and whatever. I felt like it was like almost opening it up for people to judge her as a mother for like not keeping him safe or something. Sure. And I was like, well, why? I mean, and the reason she posted it, she was like, he's still so happy, even though he has this bruise on his face. Look, everyone, like, he's such a good kid. He's happy. But I don't know. And the comments were all positive. No one was mean, but that it was just like a weird thought that I had. Like, what if, I hope no one judges her, because every mother goes through this, and, you know, every mother can't protect their child 24/7.
Yeah, I definitely know parents who have kept their children off of social media in general, first of all, because I think that parents are often shamed for that. And I know parents who had a child have an injury, like just an accident, like all kids fall.
Yeah, exactly.
And they kept their kid off of social media until it was healed, because they don't want to be pegged as like an abuser or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Right, yeah. A bad parent. That's so crazy.
I have a friend who uses a pseudonym for her child when she posts on social media, because she's so worried about something like that happening and then people Googling him when he's 20 and all this stuff comes up. And people make, or when he's a teenager, and people be like, I saw a picture of your butt when you were 1 year old, and now I'm going to put it everywhere.
Right. So she's really thinking, like, down the road, we don't know where this sort of social media overflow is, you know, where we're all going to end up. I have thoughts about that I want to come back to you in just a minute, and also kind of want to bring up a conversation about body shaming, my favorite topic. But I love to body shame myself. But I want to talk for a minute about one of our sponsors of our episode today. Shout out to... Did I just say that weird? Shout out! to MacWeldon.com. They're a company that makes really high-end underwear for men. We're sort of experts here at Cosmo in all things related to men in their underwear.
Yeah, we are. Just kidding.
That's so creepy. Lauren's like, especially me. But, you know, we first found out about this company recently when they sent a bunch of underwear to the office that we were able to give our guy friends to test. And it was so funny. I said this on our episode last week, but it was so funny because, like, I literally had one of my guy friends texted me and was like, this is like a hug for my penis, which I think is, like, I hope that's Mac Weldon. I hope that's your guys' like new Twitter bio. But the whole idea of this company is that, you know, they make all their products. They sell undershirts and socks and...
The idea is, you know, they sell underwear, socks, made out of boxers and shirt that they were wearing all day.
Everyone knows men smell.
Sorry, Rob, to our male producer in the room.
He's like shaking his head. And he's shaking his head because he knows I'm right.
Sorry about your swamp ass.
Right. Sorry about your swamp ass. But the whole idea of their products are to prevent against that, and sort of, you know, that was why we gave these products to our guy friends and let them road test it and sort of say, like, at the end of the day, did you feel cleaner and fresher than you would otherwise? And Mac Weldon is so sure that the special guy in your life is going to feel the same way and going to love this product that they actually do a money-back guarantee. You can return anything on the site. You can say, this didn't work for me. So check out the site. It's MacWeldon.com. If you use promo code Cosmo, you can get 20% off their order. The sort of special Cosmo guys, obviously I'm talking about the same pool of guys that we test all of our sex tips on, obviously, had great things to say about the underwear, but also weirdly I heard a lot of good feedback about the socks. So I'm really excited about this company because one of my problems that I feel like is really an issue facing the American women today is how many men still wear like the same disgusting underwear that their parents bought them, mm-hmm. that their mom bought them in like middle school. So I am 100% in favor of men wearing grown ass underwear. So check it out, MacWeldon.com. And moving back to body shaming, I said I wanted to talk about that. Elizabeth Nairns, you write all of our fitness and health stories on cosmopolitan.com. Shout out to Cosmo Body, our health and fitness vertical. So you, I know, you've done sort of a lot of articles about this and also talked to a lot of athletes who have talked about sort of being shamed for their size. And I think, you know, this is a topic that sort of, you know, since the dawn of time, women have sort of had our bodies discussed publicly and sort of been an object, that it's like okay to talk about a woman's body and talk about the way she presents herself. And I think, again, with social media and especially with something like Instagram, where the whole idea is that you're sharing pictures of yourself and your life, I think, again, we're seeing this be worse than ever. What do you feel like have been sort of the major issues you've been writing about or hearing from the athletes you've interviewed this year?
Actually, I feel like the conversation's really different among athletes. A lot of women that I've talked to who are professional, you know, fitness trainers or professional fitness trainers or professional athletes have talked a lot about skinny shaming. Mm-hmm. And it's something that really never dawned on me. I've never had the problem of being too skinny. Like, God help me. But, yeah, I mean, it's a huge, huge problem. Masi Arias, actually, she is an Instagram fitness celeb. She talks to me a lot about that. I've done a few interviews with her, and she is Dominican, and in her culture, kind of more round, fuller butts and smaller waists and bigger boobs are kind of the ideal. And she grew up just being super skinny and lean, and it really affected her. And she got to a point where she was actually super depressed about the way her body looked and, you know, the expectations that she was kind of up against, and turned to fitness to kind of help her get past that. So I feel like it's a really empowering time now that fitness is kind of cool, like definitely cooler than it was in like the early aughts when I started wearing a pedometer and I was the only one, and I was shamed for that.
Fitness clothes were still like prison, like, you know, clothes.
They yeah, it was still like trying cool. to like find your mom's like vintage college tee, and yeah. if you didn't have that, I don't know. Like, I feel like fitness is cool now, so it's kind of an empowering time for people who don't like their bodies. But yeah, no, I feel like skinny shaming has been a topic that has come up again and again and just continues to shock me. But I think that as the ideal body type is changing and getting more diverse, I mean, there really isn't an ideal body type anymore. I feel like, you know, you've got Beyonce on one end and the Victoria's Secret angels on the other end. And as long as you can kind of feel cool about your body, then I feel like, you know, you're kind of good to go. It's almost like, who's doing the body shaming now? Are you shaming yourself, or are other people shaming you?
Right. Well, I think that's kind of a fun, you can't, you know, I was sort of joking about how my favorite person to body shame is myself. But, you know, I just read over the weekend Mindy Kaling's book, her new one that came out, Why Not Me. Has anyone else read that? It's so good. It's so good.
Sorry, Mindy.
Yeah.
Mindy, don't hate us. Still be our best friend.
But she talks about in the book body image, and you know, she has a really interesting perspective on it because she is a woman on TV who is a size 10. Most women on TV are not size 10s. So I think she sort of basically talks about what it's like to be in that position of having to represent all women on TV who aren't a normal, you know, I don't want to say normal, that's not what I meant. She has to represent all women on TV who aren't a size 0 or aren't a size 2. She sort of becomes the spokeswoman, which, you know, isn't really fair to make one person or a handful of people sort of responsible for that entire point of view. But the chapter in her book where she talks about it is so good because it's so honest. And she sort of says, you know, I love myself, but that doesn't mean I wake up every day being like, wow, I, you know, feel 100% confident all the time. And I think that's really, really true and really honest. And she also talks about, you know, there being a moment where she was reading a tabloid and it was sort of a page that was like, curvy women we love. And she saw a picture of herself and she's like, oh, yay. And then she realizes the other women that are sort of next to her on the page. And she has this moment of thinking like, wait, but she's a total porker is the word that she uses. And then sort of catching herself and being like, how could I possibly say that about another woman? And, you know, that sort of spiral of like, is this the size people see me at? You know, is this, you know, am I part of the problem if I'm having this thought about another woman? And, you know, I think about someone like Mindy Kaling and how unfair it is that we expect her to represent, you know, body positivity, and that that has to mean you have, you know, a smile on your face about it all the time. So it's a really interesting chapter. But, you know, to your point, Elizabeth, you know, you were sort of saying like, we do have more body diversity sort of in Hollywood now, from Victoria's Secret models to Beyonce. I mean, I would argue that Beyonce is a pretty idealized figure. But I do think we are slowly, slowly, slowly having more representation on TV, especially of women that aren't just like that sort of standard sample size. I didn't mean to go on such a monologue about Mindy Kaling. I don't even really know if that made sense.
One thing I would say is I make videos here at Cosmo, and I've made videos for a long time, and I always read the comments. I shouldn't do it. I shouldn't read the comments. That's what they say, and I still always do it. And, you know, I've made videos with, like, gorgeous supermodels, and I've made videos with, you know, women who are overweight. And it's, the comments are, they're mean regardless of what you look like, and they're also kind regardless of what you look like. So it's just about, I mean, not to sound cliche, but I realize, like, you know, you're going to be, people are going to be mean and nice no matter what you look like. So you really do have to just find a way to be happy on your own.
Lauren, do you think that, do you wish people weren't able to comment? Like, are you in favor of turning off commenting on a video or on an article? Or do you think that's sort of the wrong? Because I do think that part of the frustration is that, like, one negative comment can sort of set off a chain reaction of negative comments.
That's a great question. And I don't think, I mean, I think comments are a great thing when they are thoughtful and smart, and frequently they are, but so many of these people, I think, like you said earlier, just want to stand out. And so they say something outrageous and bold and something that doesn't make sense, and that's just super mean or super provocative or polarizing. And those kinds of comments are, I think, should be not, I mean, they're, that are just like pointlessly mean. It's like you just want to make someone feel bad. Those shouldn't be there, because then I think that limits people being creative down the road, and then people get scared to be themselves. But otherwise, I think comments are really beneficial and helpful. Like, just even on this video that Cosmo did a few weeks ago on a mom raising this transgender child, it evolved into this, like, really interesting debate that was really eye-opening to read. So sometimes comments can be great, but I think if you're, like, talent in a video and you're doing a fitness video, or, and I've even done, you know, on-air stuff in the past, and I read the comments and people will just be like, your nose is so big or whatever and stuff like that. It's like, it's so unnecessary. And I would just say to people that are, you know, doing fitness videos or whatever, just don't read the comments if you can avoid it. And if you do read them, just know that these people are probably dum-dums.
Total dum-dum.
And I think it's like you said, people want to stand out. And then the people who have, you know, aren't going to praise the person but have, like, more constructive criticism are then scared to speak up because they don't want to be seen as this horrible hater, and they don't want people to then attack them in the comments about whatever they said. So it limits people having debates. And like you said, when people have an informed debate, whether people like something or don't like something, even if you don't like something, if you're not being mean about it, if you're being genuinely thoughtful about it, that's really interesting to read.
Yeah.
And get involved in and have those discussions. But I think you're right. People get scared off.
Totally.
Or just want their opinion to be heard. And like, I hate everything. You're the worst.
Yeah. Well, even with, like, we did a video with Whitney Thor, who's the star of TLC's My Big Fat Fabulous Life. And she's, like, very positive and happy about her body. And she's obese. And the comments, you know, some of the comments were just super mean and dumb. And then some of the but what was great is that all these people stuck up for her and, you know, to the mean comments. And that was, like, a really beautiful thing to see that I really liked.
Actually, I was just interviewing this week Cassie Ho, who is one of the biggest fitness personalities on YouTube. She is responsible for Blogilates. And she came out with this this video on body image, I guess, like, in the spring or summer, where she kind of photoshopped herself based on comments that she saw on social media. So they said, like, she's so fat, so then she kind of slimmed herself. It's a really cool video to watch if you haven't seen it. But I was interviewing her, and I was saying, you know, based on all this terrible feedback that you get from time to time, you know, how do you respond to it? How do you deal with it? And I said, you know, do you just delete them? Well, actually, her advice was just to delete them and block those people out. And I was like, well, do you delete all of the bad comments? And she said, no, because her fans stand up for her now. So I think in some ways, it's those kinds of comments and that kind of hostile environment might scare some people off from giving constructive criticism. But I also think it kind of rallies people up And I think it probably makes her feel amazing to see what her fans are saying in response to body shamers. So it's kind of interesting how things can go full circle, and you can kind of, it just goes full circle.
Right. And if you had, you know, if she had eliminated comments on her platforms all along, which, like, I know no one is saying that that's sort of like the solution or the answer to all of this, but if she had done that, she never would have had the chance for this sort of positive community to emerge around her.
Exactly.
I just, like, my whole thing, I feel like my bottom line on this is it's just so small potatoes. You know, this society we live in where people are obsessed with shaming for any old thing because they feel like bored and like unhappy, and then also just our constant policing of sort of this person said the wrong thing, this person used the wrong word. You know, I just think that all of that can be really small potatoes and sort of distract us from kind of like moving forward into being a more accepting, happy place where everyone can do what they feel. That is my bottom line. Do what you feel. Leave other people alone. Right? Yeah.
Just be a nice human.
Be a nice human. Be decent.
I mean, it's still what you learn in kindergarten. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. Right. That still applies.
Right. Or, like, get a podcast, which is what I do, that you can talk about your opinions all day long, and no one can ever comment and disagree with me. Yay! I love podcasts. Okay, we are about out of time. Thank you all so much for tuning in. And we end every episode by telling you, even though I just said you can't ever leave a comment on this, I actually don't mean that. Please tweet at me. I am at Elisa Benson on Twitter. And I want you guys to shout out your handles as well, so people can tell you how much they disagree with you.
Mine is at Allie Martell, one L in Allie, two L's in Martell.
Oh, that's a good little memory aid. I'll never forget how to spell your name again.
Mine is EJ Narens.
Mine is, it's Lauren time.
Oh, you're kidding.
What time is it? It's Lauren time. So ITS, Lauren time.
I love that.
I love that. That's so good. A perfect note to end on. Thank you all so much for tuning in. See you guys next week.
To win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.